What's up, nerds, and welcome to the Nerd History Podcast, a proud part of the Love Thy Nerd Podcast Network. The Nerd History Podcast exists to do what all nerds love the most, dive deep into the nostalgia of nerd culture that made us who we are. Each episode will spotlight one particular nerd history event from that week and take a deep dive into the fandom, the lore, and the nerdy facts. I'm Radio Matt. I'm the Director of Content and Resources for Love Thy Nerd and the Station Manager for LTN Radio. And with me today and forevermore is my amazing bride, Daedra.
Hello. That's it.
We are the Nerd Historians, and today on the show, we are taking a look back at the history of the Infinity Saga of the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All of it?
All of it.
We're going to cover it all.
All of it.
Wow.
Which kicked off with Iron Man 16 years ago this week. 16 years ago. In fact, between last Friday through the date of our next show, that's not our next show, but through May 7th, let's say that. our next show is May 13th, but through a week before that, 10 MCU movies from the Infinity Saga will celebrate anniversaries.
Wow.
So there's a lot to cover, which is why we're just kind of doing it all.
We're just going to do it all.
That is almost half.
So this is superhero season.
Superhero season. This is clearly a like a 2-week span where MCU liked to hit one of their movies. Yeah.
Right before everyone goes on vacation.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Spring's in the air.
It is crazy to think that the MCU started just like 3 years after you graduated high school.
Wow.
3 years after we got married.
Yeah.
And that it is still going.
Right.
We've been married for 18 years. Almost 19 years. It'll be 19 years in June.
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be doing our 20.
We'll be doing our 20th.
20th.
2 years from now.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's nearly our entire marriage, the MCU has been going. Well, like, what movie series has had that long of a run with consistency? Like, I mean, Star Wars has been around for decades, but there were decades in between.
Right.
Huge right. chunks of it.
How long has Harry Potter been going on?
Harry Potter went on for a good while, but it also ended a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, we think, like, it's new, but, like, they're already rebooting it.
That's true. What?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to ruin it.
I think as a series on Max, Netflix, I don't know, one of the places.
Might be better.
But, like, they already did the prequel movies trilogy to the Harry Potters already, Fantastic Beasts or whatever.
I haven't seen those.
Right. So I guess technically that's still going.
Yeah.
But now that series is over and rebooting it is different. Like, this, there's no reboots here. This is all one continuous story, which is crazy.
That is crazy. That's a long time to be involved in a story. Like now, if you got into it now, wouldn't be as big of a deal, right? You just watch movie after movie. You can watch one a week. But
that also might be too daunting.
16 years.
Yeah.
For these stories
to slowly come out. Like, we
slowly come out. It's been ridiculous.
Like, when our kids are teenagers and we're like, okay, you can watch the MCU with us now.
Right.
Like, they'll just be sitting down and cranking them out. They'll be done within a month.
What I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Excluding the MCU, what is your favorite series of movies?
This is something my husband doesn't like about me, but I just occasionally want to watch the Twilight Saga.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike it about you.
I read the books first.
I just, it's not a interest for me. Same thing with Harry Potter.
He rolls his eyes.
I roll my eyes.
When I have it on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a little melodramatic.
And I'm not denying that. And I'm also not denying that, they could probably make it better.
Mm-hmm. If anything needs a reboot, I think that needs a reboot. Let's take it a little bit better.
Right.
Of course, mine, I think, would be Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
A classic trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully written.
Yeah.
Should never be touched. Never be rebooted. If it is, I will burn Utica to the ground.
It can't be.
Currently, it can't be. Yeah.
It can't be. Because there's, yeah.
But when Robert Zemeckis dies, I feel like it's every man for himself.
Yeah, I don't know. Movie sagas? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Twilight counts. It's a saga.
Yeah. And I watched, I think, the last two in theaters, maybe. The last one, for sure. It might have just been the last one.
Didn't you go with my mom to see one of them?
Yeah.
New Moon, was it the one y'all went to see?
Yeah.
That was weird for me.
I'm pretty sure I've already talked about it.
On the show? Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
How she was like, she hadn't read the book and I had, so I knew the ending. And they were all like dying. And she's like, oh, oh no. I'm just smirking. But like out loud in the theater with other people. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Last movie you went to see with her, right?
I think so.
I'm thinking like Star Trek. Star Trek is a fairly long.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would count that as a movie saga because it started as a TV show first.
It did, but it's still a saga.
I don't think
it especially when you saga. Continue on with the new Trek. Which is still technically part of the saga.
I don't even know that I've seen the newest Star Trek.
Beyond? Movie. You didn't see Beyond?
I don't know. I don't know that I saw it.
It was all right.
Yeah.
The first one was really good.
After
the one in 2009 like, was really good.
Screwed up Spock. I was like, that's it. I'm done.
They did not screw up Spock.
Yes, they did.
Spock is so glorified in these movies. They did a really good job with Spock, and I will not have you badmouth
the character, him. Yes, but they ruined his life. They killed his planet.
But that it's a different timeline.
Wasn't supposed to happen.
It's a different timeline, and it's beautiful.
No.
The Kelvin timeline is beautiful, and I will not have you besmirched.
Ruiner.
Man.
Wonka, does that count?
No, but that new Wonka movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
All of them are pretty decent.
I forgot.
Even the Johnny Depp weird one.
We watched the Johnny Depp weird one with the kids earlier.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot that that's where we got Mumbler.
Mumbler? Oh, no, I've always remembered that. Every time we say it, I picture Mike TV.
I cannot understand a word you're saying.
But that new Wonka movie, if y'all haven't seen that.
It was really good.
Yeah. Everyone was really worried about it, and it's real good.
I still think I like the Johnny Depp one better.
Really?
Yeah. I just like Wonka in that one.
That's a hot take.
There. I just like Wonka in that one.
I was a younger man in those days. Cut to guy that looks exactly the same. So the MCU also did something that other comic book movies barely tiptoed into ever, and that was crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a gimmick, but as a standard, mm-hmm. as if they were all in the same world.
What?
Which is because they are.
What?
Before that, the closest thing we had is maybe Smallville, which is a bit different because it's not like there were other shows.
Right.
It was just they allowed other heroes to appear, especially more towards the end of the series, mm-hmm. like the second mm-hmm. half of the mm-hmm. show. I mean, Green Arrow was even a main character for a lot of that time.
Right.
Which is cool, mm-hmm. having... It felt like a crossover, even though, again, they didn't have their own show at the time. Mm-hmm. But they did follow that up with Arrowverse after Smallville ended, launched the new series of TV shows, and that became a standard there, too. Even having yearly, big, multi-part crossovers.
Right.
which some were better than others, but still, it was a really ambitious and really cool thing to see on TV, something we hadn't really seen before. But before that, like, it was so rare that comic book shows or movies even acknowledged that other superheroes existed.
That's true.
Let alone having them call for help when the world is about to be destroyed. Now, I'll handle this on my own. We don't need the Justice League. If there was ever a time for the Justice League, it's when the world is about to explode.
I don't want you losing just because you didn't want to ask for help.
Because of your hubris, Clark Kent. But it really all did start with Iron Man, which was an odd choice to start with, because he was not the popular Marvel superhero. As much as he's compared to Batman today, like, he was not Batman level popular in Marvel Comics terms for most of his existence. He was like a B-teamer most of the time. He looked like a giant Tin Man from Oz half the time of his existence. Just a fatter version of the Tin Man. Like, it's strange, but also kind of smart that they started with Iron Man, because they could tell the whole tale. Most people didn't know it already. They didn't run the risk of it being, you know, like an overly adapted hero like Superman and Batman are. Mm-hmm. There are so many different origins.
And you have to come up with a new different way to tell the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a smart move, and I think that they also were brilliant enough to risk it on Robert Downey Jr. Because he had not really had the best reputation. He had been, I think, this it was drugs.
His, like, big.
This was his big return.
Yeah.
He had had to deal with drugs. He had been, he's gone to jail after being an actor already. Like, he's already existed in the space and had a massive spiral downward. And this was kind of his comeback. And it was amazing.
Right.
Like, that first movie still hits all the notes perfectly, in my opinion. And I watched it again this year. Some main actors, this came out in 2008, Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, Iron Man. Gwyneth Paltrow is Pepper Potts. Jeff Bridges is Obadiah Stane. Also, one of the perfect choices, perfect casting choices for the first villain of the MCU. Threatening as all get out. Him in that giant replicated suit at the end. By the way, this is going to be all the spoilers for this podcast. So if you haven't caught up on the Infinity Saga,
for some reason, I've never watched Iron Man. For goodness sake, turn us off and watch Iron Man.
Don't even listen to this podcast. Go watch all 23 movies right now.
And then listen to us.
But yeah, Jeff Bridges delivered so well on that, on that front.
I'd agree.
Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with a box of scraps. So good.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree. It was not, because did we watch it in theaters?
I'm almost certain. We did most of the first several movies.
Yeah.
I think with just a couple of exceptions, I think we saw all those first 23 movies in theaters. Maybe not both of us together. I know me and John saw Ant-Man together. I don't think you saw that with me.
I don't think I did, yeah.
But so, at least I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, I had never heard of Iron Man myself, and it was really cool. And it was nice that you got to have the surprises. Like, in a Superman movie, when Lex Luthor shows up, you know he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Right. There's a aspect to it that I think we had that maybe a lot of comic book fans didn't have, in that we're pretty much a DC Comics family. The only comic books in our house are DC Comics. We don't have Marvel Comics.
We have Marvel Encyclopedia.
We have that, but that we only bought that after the movie started coming out.
That's true.
but we, I have never read Marvel Comics aside from a few, Spider-Man issues here or there. But I've never invested in any of the big storylines. And so I had, if they use, and I still don't even know how much comic book accurate resource material they use to build these scripts.
Right.
But if they did, I had no idea what was coming.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the same for everybody. I don't know if that's the same for people that read Marvel comics growing up. But the only real Marvel experience that I had was just prior Marvel movies, starting with, you know, the Spider-Man series from Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire. So it was neat to jump in just kind of being clean slate.
Right.
Oh, here's the synopsis. Billionaire industrialist Tony Stark builds a powered exoskeleton after a life-threatening incident and becomes the technologically advanced superhero Iron Man. Box office, $585.2 million. Here's some fun facts. The iconic final line of the movie, "I am Iron Man," was improvised by Robert Downey Jr., not in the script. Number two, this was the first film released in the MCU. Yeah, who knows that? And number three, Stan Lee, the co-creator of Iron Man, makes a cameo as Hugh Hefner. Stan Lee, of course, infamous for showing up in every movie that every superhero movie, some of which aren't even Marvel. Like, he shows up in a few DC movies, too. A tradition that's been going on for a while.
Is Big Hero 6?
That's Marvel. It's a Marvel property.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's in that as well. All right. Number two came out at about the same time, maybe just a couple months later.
Okay.
Like, I think they were in theaters at the same time at one point, too. The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Main actors, Edward Norton as Bruce Banner, the Hulk. Liv Tyler as Betty Ross. Tim Roth as Emil Blonsky, or the Abomination, which was the other big bad. Scientist Bruce Banner seeks a cure for his transformation into the Hulk under the pursuit of the military and confronts the monstrous abomination. Box office, $263.4 million, little more than half of Iron Man. But that's because no one really knew what to expect from this, because there was already a new Hulk movie just like 4 years prior.
Yeah.
With a different guy.
Help me with which one. We're talking about.
So we're talking about the one where it starts. It's Edward Norton. He's the. What have you seen him in? You've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but I wouldn't be able to name any of them.
He's not like the Hulk that's in the movies now.
Right? No.
It was the other guy.
It was the first guy.
Yes.
This was the movie where he is working in a factory, I think in Colombia or somewhere in South America,
and it gets
he cuts his thumb and it drips into a glass.
Okay,
infects a couple people, including Stan Lee. And this is set up not as an origin story like the previous Hulk movie was, though they're not connected in any way. But they were like, we just did an origin, so we can't do another origin for the Hulk. So they just kind of skipped that part. And we're in like the second part of his story, the second chapter already. It's not a bad movie. It just feels incomplete because it's not an origin story. I think it was the right move to not make it an origin story and to kind of touch on those things later. But at the time and in the place that it was, this was like the skippable movie for a lot of people. Like, we don't need that one. But it was the, it wasn't even like an end credit scene because it happened before the credits, but it was the teaser at the end where Tony Stark actually walks in to the bar where the general is having a drink and says, we're putting together a team. And that's when I realized, holy crap, there's a in credit scene in the first movie that I totally missed. So back in Iron Man, you waited all the way to the end of this in credits and you have freaking Sam Jackson, Nick Fury show up in Iron Man's room asking him, or saying, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. I would have blown my lid in the movie theater had I known to stay. It wasn't a common thing for there to be in credit scene.
Now
it was like the only thing the only thing I could think of before MCU was Ferris Bueller.
Right.
I'm sure there were more, but it wasn't so common
that
you had those memorized. And even if it was part of a movie, it was always just a throwaway joke.
Right.
It was never a tease for something huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Iron Man. I think Iron Man 2 came out before I even knew that there was an end credit scene in Iron Man 1. Like, it was a long, embarrassingly long time. Anyway, Lou Ferrigno, the original Hulk from the TV series, is actually the voice of Hulk in the movie. The film features a post-credit scene with Tony Stark, like we said. Edward Norton rewrote much of the script, though he was not credited as a writer. This is also kind of why he left, because they didn't want him to keep doing that. He wanted a lot more creative control over the character. They could not come to terms about that. And so they're like, let's just call it off.
Sorry, you're no longer the Hulk.
Which I think, I liked Edward Norton. And I like him in most of the stuff he does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the right call. Iron Man 2 then came out. Robert Downey Jr. again, Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. Featuring Mickey Rourke as Ivan Vanko, or Whiplash, and also Sam Rockwell as the other guy. You know what I'm talking about. It's not written
trying
down
to look cool, yeah. Like Tony guy.
Yeah.
Guy
from Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember it. But anyway.
That guy.
Like this too. Solid sequel.
Uh-huh.
Only issue was starting to form a pattern that the villain in these first three movies is just a evil copy of the hero.
Oh.
Iron Man 1, bigger iron suit.
Right.
Iron Man 2, bigger, like, powered source, and then an army of Iron Men.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Incredible Hulk, Abomination. Just another Hulk guy, given the same juice that made Hulk Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Incredible Hulk also had a lot of, like, loose ends. What was going to happen with the Abomination? What about Mr. Blue, who got that stuff dripped on his brain?
Right, I forgot about that.
All that stuff was left hanging. Apparently, we've already seen Abomination show up a couple times in the new saga, and apparently we're getting Mr. Blue also at some point.
Okay.
So they're touching on them. Long form storytelling. I'm okay with that. But anyway, it's a long time, because that was 2008, and it is 2024.
Right.
Iron Man 2, fun fact. Oh, yeah, sorry. Tony Stark faces pressure from the government to share his technology. Justin Hammer.
There we go.
as he deals with health issues and a new enemy, Whiplash.
The thing was making him sick, huh?
Right. He's getting those weird
veiny things.
Digital veins. That was really strange. The Monaco Grand Prix scene was actually filmed on a recreated track. Elon Musk makes a cameo appearance in the film. And this is the first appearance of Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff.
That's right.
The Black Widow. It was a good movie. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that Grand Prix scene, especially the briefcase Iron Man suit, one of my favorite Iron Man suits.
Yeah, agreed.
It was so...
Agreed.
So just...
So cool.
Mwah. It was beautiful. Satisfying as all get out. All right, so next was probably my least favorite of the original set of movies, and that's Thor. 2011... The original Thor, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Natalie Portman as Jane Foster, Tom Hiddleston as Loki. The god Thor is banished from Asgard to Earth, where he learns what it takes to be a true hero. Box office, $449.3 million. It wasn't a bad film. It just was kind of slow. A little overly emotional. The film was directed by Kenneth Branagh, known for his Shakespearean films.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth gained 20 pounds of muscle for this role. The town of...
I was going to say gained 20 pounds.
Well, that's for Endgame.
Right.
The town of Puente Antiguo is Spanish for Old Bridge. Fun fact for you there. the fact that these are the fun facts is just proving my point. It's kind of a nothing burger movie. It's just like, okay, this is just about Thor getting humbled. Yeah. All right, fine. Mm-hmm. And I think the better story in that movie is Loki showing his true kind of mischievous colors.
Yeah.
I really like Loki's story in it. Yeah. Especially building up to two movies later.
Right.
But it's all right. Of all the Thor movies, this was one of them.
Are we going to go through all 23? Cause,
yeah. These first six are very important. The other ones will kind of speed through. We're building the Avengers here. Okay. Number five, Captain America, the First Avenger, came out in 2011. This is where you would assume that they would have started. This is the Superman equivalent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they didn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They saved him to almost the end of the opening act. The opening phase. Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, Captain America. Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter. Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. Really good job as Red Skull. Mm-hmm. Box office, $370.6 million. Not the biggest movie.
Okay.
Less than Thor, which boggles my mind. During World War II, Steve Rogers transforms from a frail man into the super soldier Captain America. That hurts. As your husband, who has been bald your entire marriage. That hurts. Captain America battles the evil Hydra organization. The film's red, white, and blue palette mirrors Captain America's costumes. Stanley Tucci chose to use a German accent for his character, Dr. Abraham Erskine. Erskine? Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. And this was the last film released by Paramount Pictures before Disney purchased Marvel Studios.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good movie. Real good movie.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
All took place way before any of the other movies happened.
Right. Right.
Until just the very end. And then the very end was a mind-blowing last scene where he figures out almost immediately.
Right.
That something's wrong.
Right.
That he's not in the time he was supposed to be in.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Crazy.
Beautiful setup. And then they gave you, they didn't just stop there. They gave you like a full-on preview for the Avengers. Like they showed clips from the movie.
They did.
Which isn't something that they did commonly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very exciting and leading into the Avengers. Now, I remember the first time seeing this movie, it was just me in the movie theater. And I was so excited, I nearly wet the chair. Like, it was, I couldn't, it felt so monumental at the time.
Yeah.
Like, this is something everybody's wanted to see, an actual big budget superhero team up movie.
Right.
From any realm of comics.
Uh-huh.
We have had crappy made-for-TV movies and specials from both DC and Marvel in the 80s, and they sucked, and they weren't worth the film they were recorded on. But this was a big deal.
Yeah.
And just the whole opening scene, the whole thing where Loki comes out and battles and mind controls Hawkeye, who I didn't even know really who he was at the time, and all this. And then it just cuts to the Avengers as all the letters like open up together. And I just remember just going, oh, yes, I'm ready. So excited. So, of course, this featured everybody that we've seen up to this point.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really realize Hawkeye was in Thor either when I first watched it. It's like, okay, who's this guy that's sharpshooting people with an arrow?
Yeah.
I didn't even know really. I knew that. Of Hawkeye, but I didn't know him enough to be like, that's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, they got a weird security chief who likes to arrow people instead of shoot them. That's fine.
Okay.
But anyway, we had seen Black Widow
and
all four of the main heroes. Now Mark Ruffalo taking over as the Hulk
in
this moment as Bruce Banner.
You know, if I...
Right. Nick Fury assembles a team of superheroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and the Hulk, to fight against the Asgardian god Loki, who threatens Earth with the help of the Chitauri, a army owned by Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they already laying the Thanos ground.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
In movie 6. Okay.
Crazy. Crazy.
Box office. $1.519 billion.
Wow.
Crazy good film. This was the this film was the fastest to gross $1 billion at the time. The movie's cinematic battle scene in New York was almost entirely created using CGI, so they didn't have real alien ships crashing into buildings.
That's disappointing. I'm
sorry to disappoint you. But, like, how did you feel? You're not a big superhero person. I understand right. that. But how did you feel watching that movie? Did it feel different to you? Did it feel important? Did it feel like a landmark moment?
Sure. I just remember thinking, this is really cool.
Right? I think they did it a really good job.
And honestly, as a person who hasn't been much into comic books, it was still very enjoyable.
Right.
And I think that's something they've done very well is...
Made it accessible.
Made it, yeah, for everybody. You don't have to have this back knowledge of the comic books, but if you do, it like adds to your experience, I would say.
Or maybe subtracts from it.
You think
so? There are a lot of people that are like, well, that's not how it went in the comics. You know? It's like the people that read the book before they watch the movie in the theater with their mother-in-law.
What are you
mean? No, but I mean, it can be a detriment.
Yeah.
But still, I think it was very important. Very important.
I think it would be cool to see the comic book I've been reading and just looking at pictures of come to life.
Yeah, I agree. I think for most people, that's the way it went. So we jump into phase two. This is the both the epilogue to the Avengers and the prologue to phase two, Iron Man 3. So we are 7 movies in. This is already the end of the trilogy for Iron Man. He no longer has a standalone movie through the rest of the 23 movies.
Huh.
And yet he's still pretty much the main character, right?
Right.
Ben Kingsley stars as Trevor Slattery, the Mandarin, or the fake Mandarin. Again, all the spoilers. This movie made $1.215 billion. Tony Stark encounters a formidable terrorist known as the Mandarin. After a series of bombings, dealing with PTSD, he must protect the ones that he loves.
Is this the Christmas one?
This is the one that's set at Christmas time. Yeah.
The big bunny or something.
It's a big bunny. Relax about it.
Yeah.
You'll never
I gotta
see
say,
me coming.
The most hilarious thing in that was when you find out he's like not really the Mandarin. Oh my gosh. It was so funny. Like,
a lot of people hated it.
Really?
But this is one of those instances where, like, this is not how the comics go. But I thought it was hilarious too.
I thought it was funny. Maybe it's the...
They lied to me. They told me that nobody was going to get hurt. Well, I panicked, but then I handled it.
Yeah. I guess my office, you know, The Office.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me. Yeah, just goofy, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out of nowhere, hilarity. Yeah. Fantastic.
I like it.
This is the first MCU film following the Avengers, explores anxiety and PTSD after that, which I think it did really well.
Oh, the cute little kid.
Cute little kid.
Okay.
This was also, I think they handled the idea of the PTSD, the panic attacks, in a way that was both serious and funny.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, to kind of like, yes, this is a serious issue, but we don't want to bum you out.
you came here to watch the movie.
Good job. Yeah. But yeah, this, the Ben Kingsley's character being revealed as an actor was a controversial twist among fans, but it still made a ton of money.
I liked it.
One of my least favorite movies, number 8, Thor: The Dark World.
So two for two with Thor.
Thor battles the Dark Elves, led by the vengeful Malekith, who was played by Dr. Number 9. You know, I wanted it to be better. Led by the vengeful Malekith, who intends to plunge the universe into darkness using the mysterious weapon known as the Aether, which was the weird stone that wasn't a stone. It was a floaty liquid. Yeah, sure, whatever. The film introduces the Reality Stone, one of the Infinity Stones, also known as Aether. This is kind of where we start really plowing into the Infinity Stone storyline. Loki's death was originally scripted, but was changed due to his popularity by the fans. The film's final battle scene features a series of portals that connects different worlds, an idea that was further explored in later MCU films, such as Guardians of the Galaxy. Whatever, the movie was so boring. It has some high parts. It's just, it was too serious. Like, even then, even before we had other Thor movies to compare it to that got so much better because they were hilarious, even before that, before we knew it could be better, I'm just like, this is the garbagest movie of the whole MCU so far. Redeemed with Captain America the Winter Soldier in 2014.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers teams up with Black Widow and new ally Sam Wilson, the Falcon, to uncover a conspiracy within S.H.I.E.L.D. while facing a mysterious assassin known as the Winter Soldier. First standalone Captain America movie set in the current time. Political thriller. Conspiracies abound in this movie. Nick Fury gets a prominent role.
Right.
It's so well done. It's still one of the most popular MCU films to this day. And rumor has it the new Captain America movie, New World Order, coming out soon, is supposed to follow in suit. It's supposed to be a very political thriller-heavy kind of movie. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Box office, $714.4 million. Further the story of Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier, coming back. I thought that was really well done as well.
I like that.
All of this, really good. I don't have much more to say about it other than it's just one of the best films, superhero films ever. Not just in the MCU, but ever.
Wow.
So well done.
Wow.
But then, then you had Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014.
Oh my goodness.
Now, we want to talk about unknown superheroes.
Right.
They took a huge gamble. Like, we're going to get this team that nobody buys the comics for and make them the funniest thing.
Right.
In the series.
Right.
Chris Pratt as Peter Quill. Zoe Saldana as Gamora. Dave Bautista as Drax. Bradley Cooper as the voice of Rocket. Vin Diesel. Vin freaking Diesel of Fast and Furious movies. Saying, I am Groot a billion times, making $1 billion doing it. $773.3 million. A group of intergalactic criminals must pull together to stop a fanatical warrior with plans to purge the universe.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel does record Groot's famous line, I am Groot, over 1,000 times for the movie.
Oh my gosh.
The soundtrack, Awesome Mix Volume 1, became a major hit and is integral to the film's plot and Star-Lord's character. The film's director, James Gunn, provided the voice, the dance moves, provided the dance moves for Baby Groot during the credits. James Gunn did the dance in the motion capture suit. Honestly, one of the funniest movies of the whole series. And such a... The whole trilogy of it, the trilogy plus the Christmas special, all of them, super fun.
I really enjoy
super
it.
Super sci-fi weird, like the weird sci-fi in all of them.
Yeah,
definitely. So enjoyable.
Yeah,
and a completely different tone than what we've seen up to now.
Oh yeah.
Avengers: Age of Ultron. So this is the sequel. We get James Spader playing James Spader as a robot. It worked for me. It wasn't the most popular Avengers film. It's probably the least popular Avengers film. But I liked it. Yeah. I think it built up a really cool storyline. It introduced Scarlet Witch.
I feel like it's more accurately what our future looks like.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe that's why it didn't do well. It scared everybody.
It scared everybody. too real.
Right. I liked the infighting with the Avengers arguing over the ethics of this and AI and everything, doing the whole AI arguments before we even had them here in the real world, right, on a daily basis. The whole building a vision at the end.
Right.
I mean,
we got vision.
Such a tense and amazing scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We didn't know if he was going
to
be
evil. At first, yeah.
Right.
But and they were fighting over trying to start the machine up to finish it. And then Thor zooms in and powers up the thing to finish it because he had seen a vision or whatever. A vision. That's exactly what they say, too. I had a vision. And he comes out, and at first he freaks out and punches somebody and flies off, and then he stops. And then he's like, sorry about that. This is Johnny Depp. Sorry about that. I'm not going to try and do the British accent now. And the key moment, though, was the callback to the beginning of the movie where they're at the party, they're celebrating, and they're all trying to pick up Thor's hammer.
Right.
And none of them can. You see Captain America tweak it just a little bit. You see Thor's eyes just go wide. And then he can't get it. But the callback at the end is, you can only pick it up if you're worthy. And Vision hands the hammer to Thor. Uh-huh. And okay, I guess we can trust him. That was the thing that was all right, I guess he's on our team. And we go out and we do it.
Right.
So good. The ending battle. Battle with the floating Sokovia, overhead. It seemed like this is just what we have to do to end the movie. It didn't seem like that's what we were really needing to build to. We could have had some sort of technological way to end it, but this is a big team up. We're going to have to all fight because that's what comic books do. But it just kind of felt like, all right. Obligatory end movie battle to me. But then we had Ant-Man after that, 2015. Brand new superhero. Not brand new total, but brand new to the series.
Right.
Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the most perfectly cast character outside of Tony Stark.
Right.
In the whole series.
Really
funny. Michael Douglas is Hank Pym. Evangeline Lilly is Hope Van Dyne. Scott Lang, a former thief, must embrace his inner hero and help his mentor, Dr. Hank Pym, protect the secret behind the spectacular Ant-Man suit. The film features cameo from the Falcon, making a connective tie to the broader MCU. Paul Rudd contributed to rewriting the script during production. The film explores the quantum realm, which plays a crucial role later in the MCU. But this film introduced a lot that would wind up being heavily used towards the end of this saga and even beyond it.
Right.
But, $519.3 million. I saw this with John in the theaters. Both of us, this is the first and only movie I think we've gone and seen together. Both of us rolling the whole time. Such a good movie. So funny. Very well done. Who cares if they break their own rules in the movie? Because the whole idea is the smaller you get, the more powerful you get. It's like concentrating all of your strength and weight and all this into this tiny ball, and so your tiny punch is supposed to be gigantic. It's supposed to have this, the smaller you get, the bigger the punch is, kind of thing.
Okay.
Right? You're supposed to, you don't lose your weight, you don't lose your mass, you just lose your size, but it just all shrinks in there. But then later, Hank Pym has a tank on his keychain.
Oh, right.
Just flinging it around like it weighs nothing. So, what's up with that? But anyway, other than that, it's fantastic. Captain America Civil War, otherwise known as Avengers 2.5. Had almost all of them in there.
Yeah.
Even some we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man.
That's true.
Debut of Spider-Man.
Wow.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
This was a huge comic book storyline.
I think this was the one that I didn't really care for.
You didn't like Civil War?
They're all fighting. I'm like...
Well, yeah. That's what a Civil War is.
I know. I understand that. I just was like... Mm.
We had Spider-Man. We had Black Panther showing up for the first time.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I did really, my favorite scene in the whole thing is Tony Stark showing up at Peter Parker's house and like winking at him at the couch, trying to get him to go along with what he's saying to Aunt May. Do you remember this? He's like, yeah, I was wanting to talk to you about the Stark scholarship. Wink, wink, winking both eyes, staring at him. Just like, agree with what I'm saying and let's go talk in your room kind of thing. You remember that scene? No. It was really funny. But it was difficult because you didn't really know who to root for.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of had to pick a side. And that is what made it interesting
maybe
as well.
That's why I didn't like it, because, you know, I don't like picking favorites.
You don't like picking favorites.
Maybe I was like, I don't know.
But, like, at the same time, you know, Tony Stark's coming off as the jerk. But then we have, like, that scene. And you're like, okay, well, I could still kind of like him. Mm-hmm. But, I think it was really neat bringing in Peter Parker. Also, I think the Peter Parker choice is mm-hmm. a fantastic choice. Tom Welling? No, that's Superman. Tom Hiddleston is Loki. Tom.
Another Tom.
Gosh.
The guy that can't
keep Holland. A secret. Thank you. Tom Holland, who cannot keep a secret. Don't interview Tom Holland. Box office for this movie, $1.153 billion. So this was Avengers numbers. Political pressure mounts to install a system of accountability when the actions of the Avengers led to collateral damage. The new status quo deeply divides the members of the team. Mm-hmm. The massive airport battle scene was one of the most complex sequences in MCU history. I think they did a really good job in that scene making it feel like a huge fight with a bunch of people as opposed to just like a 6-on-6.
Yeah.
Fist fight. Like in the comic book, this was the entirety of superheroes. Oh, half really? And half.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, you know, hundreds of people.
Huh.
And the big battle was hundreds of people against hundreds of people. Like it was a big, big deal. And so that coming into it was like, you really need all the space? Could do this in the back room. But still, I think they did a good job.
They needed to make a giant Ant-Man.
They did. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Doctor Strange came next, 2016. I think a surprise hit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Dr. Stephen Strange. Chiwel, I don't even know how to say it, Mordo. Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer. Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. That was a bit of a controversial change because the Ancient One in comics is not a bald white woman.
Bald lady. I thought that was reserved for the Borg Queen.
Yeah, right.
I was a little. I was like, really?
$677.7 million box office. After a devastating car accident, brilliant neurosurgeon Stephen Strange embarks on a journey of healing, leading him to the discovery of the mystic arts. I think he did such a good job in the character, like being the.
Yeah,
the
I would agree.
Egomaniac uh-huh. who was then tortured by the fact that he screwed up the only thing he was good at. Like he was really good at it, one of the best in the world, and now he ruined it and he can never be that again. And it was his whole quest of trying to gain back that functionality he had in his hands and never really getting to that point and having to accept that and realize it really is actually a really good biblical lesson of, you know, God taking broken pieces, using it for something different, something better, building it into something new.
Hmm.
I really enjoyed it. Benedict Cumberbatch learned several magic tricks and sleight of hand techniques for this role.
Oh, that's cool.
The film features a unique visual style with cities and landscapes bending and twisting in an Inception-like manner.
Mm-hmm.
And the film introduces the Time Stone, housed in the Eye of Agamotto. beautiful stuff. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
15, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Hey, hey.
Canonically actually takes place immediately following the first movie.
Right. Which is weird.
Which is weird.
Because you had to wait so long.
This was the first time that they really like displaced a movie in the timeline. Right. Wouldn't be the last, but it was the first time and it felt weird. Box office, $863.8 million. Big numbers for a not assembled movie. Guardians struggle to keep their newfound family together as they unravel the mysteries of Peter Quill's true parentage. We get to meet Kurt Russell, who plays the character of Ego, revealed to be Star-Lord's father, and all-around terrible being.
Right.
The film includes 5 post-credit scenes. A record for any MCU 5? Film. 5 of them.
Yeah.
It takes us basically up to the right time. So that those 5, we kind of time travel from where they're at to where we're supposed to be in the timeline.
Yeah.
And so that's why that happens.
And we meet the antenna lady.
Yeah. We get to meet Mantis in there that movie. Go. And she becomes a standard in the films. Welcome one. I enjoy Mantis. Mantis is a fun character.
Me too.
16, Spider-Man Homecoming in 2017.
That was a good one.
Another choice not to redo an origin story, because we'd already had 2 of those in very recent times.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of skip over it. Like, it's just a conversation he and Ned have. It's like, she just got bit by a spider? Yeah, and that's it. That's all the exposition they give you on the origin story of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It had Michael Keaton as the Vulture in this movie, as that team, that cleanup construction team that got, like, wasted all their money buying all these trucks and hiring all these men for this big cleanup after the New York battle in the Avengers. And then Tony Stark's damage control organization came in like, no, we're going to take care of it. And now the company basically went out of money, So they stole some of the alien technology, built big weapons, and then that became their thing, making weapons for the underground.
If you're not going to let me clean up, then I'm going to tear it down.
Peter Parker tries to balance his life as an ordinary high school student in Queens with a superhero alter ego Spider-Man and must confront a new menace prowling the skies of New York City. Tom Holland performed many of his own stunts in this movie, adding a level of authenticity to Spider-Man's acrobatics.
That's cool.
I did like that Tom Holland is visibly younger, like believably a teenager.
Right.
In this movie.
Right.
Even in the next movie. He's believably 15 or however old.
Right.
Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield. Especially Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire looked 30. In that first movie. And I think he was 30. Still, really good. I did like it. It was a solid first outing for a solo movie. Told a whole different story than we've ever seen from Spider-Man. From a very different perspective than we've seen from Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And at a more lighthearted tone than any that we've seen in Spider-Man.
I agree with that. I really enjoyed it. Lighthearted.
Yeah. It almost, it verges on feeling like a kid's movie. Except for when we get into the real, like, Vulture stuff in the ending. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, there's a serious level to this, but it's good. But, man, it was hit after hit at this point, because then it was Thor Ragnarok in 2017. Wow. All the hating I did on those first 2 Thor movies, this redeemed Thor. It was such a good movie. It might be the only good Thor movie, and it's still going to be one of my favorites. this featured Bruce Banner, the Hulk, as a main character as well. So it was like a team up for them. Both of them imprisoned on the other side of the universe. Thor finds himself in a race against time to get back to Asgard to stop Ragnarok, the destruction of his homeworld, at the hands of the powerful and ruthless Hela. Loki, also again a main character and kind of a good guy in this film. He's kind of earning his
good guy, bad guy.
Yeah. It's just a weird choice. In a vacuum, if you're watching all these movies, pop, 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 it's going to be like, oh, this dude tried to destroy New York like 5 minutes ago.
Right.
But watching them, like, this was 2017 at this point. It was like 6-7 years after that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay, Or no, I guess it was 5 years. 5 years after that movie. I'm like, okay, well, let him earn a little bit of it.
The film. Could this be when the turning point that made people start liking Loki?
I feel like Loki was always very popular. I think I mentioned that too in the second Thor movie is why they brought him back, even though he should have stayed imprisoned. I think people really identified with Loki as a character. Again, that first Thor movie, that was my only character I cared about.
Yeah.
I think Tom Hiddleston might be the most beloved villain in the whole MCU, which is why he's been around for so long. Still to this day. Yeah. The film's director, Taika Waititi, also voices the character of Korg. Korg?
Yes.
Taika Waititi is one of those directors that's like, I have to be in every movie I make. Even if it's a short thing, I gotta be in it. It features a cameo with Doctor Strange at the beginning, which I think was really cool. Mm-hmm. I've been falling for 30 minutes, linking it to the broader MCU. Then we had Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther was the largest, at this point, standalone hero film, grossing $1.347 billion on its own. Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa or Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. Fantastic villain. T'Challa returns home to the African nation of Wakanda to take his rightful place as king. When a powerful enemy suddenly reappears, T'Challa's mettle as king and Black Panther gets tested. Mm-hmm. First superhero film to get a nomination for Best Picture at the Oscars.
Wow.
The film's production design and costume design were heavily influenced by various African cultures. And Chadwick Boseman even learned the African language. I'm going to butcher how it's pronounced, but I think it's Xhosa, X-H-O-S-A, for his role, which is spoken in the film. Fantastic movie. A lot of shades of Iron Man and some of those early ones, because it is the villain is just the carbon copy of the good guy. Mm-hmm. But there's so much like lore and story building around Wakanda, which we barely touched on.
Right.
Previously, just like little bits and little hints and not adamantium, vibranium, you know, metal that has been seen throughout. Mm-hmm. We finally get like, this is where it comes from. Yeah, it's really cool how they opened up the story there. Mm-hmm. This leads into number 19, Avengers Infinity War, 2018.
Wow.
Okay. Josh Brolin as Thanos. Box office $2.048 billion. The Avengers and their allies must be willing to sacrifice all in an attempt to defeat the powerful Thanos before his blitz of devastation and ruin puts an end to the universe. It is only the fourth film in history to earn over $2 billion worldwide.
Wow.
The film features the most extensive collection of superheroes in a single movie in the MCU, and Thanos' snap, which erases half of all life in the universe, was one of the most shocking moments in all the MCU. So the big deal with this movie was, number one, it was nearly 3 hours long.
It's a long time.
Massive, massive story.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't end with a happy ending.
Right. They lost.
I think this is where, having not read comics before, really hit people hard. Because you don't go to a movie, especially one where the heroes are just getting beat at every turn already in the movie, and think that they're not going to turn it around and win at the end.
Right.
They don't. Most of them poof away. But even if you did know that was coming, it was still gutting to watch it happen. So this was our Ask LTN. I asked, here, I'll open it up so I can read all the answers. I asked, when you first saw Avengers Infinity War, explain how you felt when the movie ended in as much detail as possible. So let's go through a couple of these comments, huh? Brian Falk says, I was shocked that the Avengers lost. You don't normally see that kind of brutal loss at the end of a superhero movie. I was in awe and wanted the next movie right away.
Right.
Tyranny Albrecht said, Spider-Man turned to dust. I cried. Dom Villarreal said, I remembered watching it when it came out after the whole movie. And, of course, the post-end credits were over. I was so quiet, even on the drive home. I was just speechless. Can you imagine just leaving a theater and just like...
Right?
Just can't talk.
Crazy.
Don't talk to me. Ashley Riley said, there's not a lot of detail to give. I cried, and then I said they wouldn't have lost if Hawkeye was with them. Brian Neidhart said, I was with my wife right next to me as she was wondering why I was crying. Tony Renner said, I just remembered being really confused. I was so sure Cap was going to die that when he didn't, I didn't know how to react, which all my friends thought I would be a mess because Bucky poofed, but nope. I was just really annoyed that the end was the end and that we had to wait a year for the next movie. Christopher Preston said, I immediately from my theater seat texted my friends who saw it that night before or the night before and said it was amazing, but what the heck did I just watch? Raul Hernandez said, I was just glad Cap didn't get snapped away. Jared Bang says, oddly, I was pleasantly surprised. I had already tempered my expectations that it could never be what the original comic Infinity Gauntlet story was, to me, at least one of my favorites. But I just didn't know if they could MCU-ify a version of that story and still have it be satisfying. I applauded their decision to do two parts and have the heroes just lose, at least in the first movie, because that at least felt more true to the story. Thanos, with the full gauntlet, should absolutely stomp everyone. And I thought they did as well as they could with that, while still making a version that the MCU audience would accept. They left a lot of the weird cosmic stuff out, which I love, but knew it would be too weird for mass movie-going audiences from the comics. But I expected that would be the case from the jump. Might be one of my favorite MCU movies. Michael Dorn Brown... what's the word? Expanded on that. Adam Warlock, who we see later, I think, in Guardians Volume 3. And the character Death, which is like a woman that Thanos is in love with, were gone. They are in the comics. They're not in the movie. Whole different storylines or whatever. He said, the lack of those kind of made me angry, but I was also in awe of the new story that was being told. And our fearless leader, Bubba Stalkup, simply said, I was gutted. I mean...
Yeah.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
It was a powerful movie. And the fact that we had to wait a solid year for the conclusion was painful.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the two-parter of Harry Potter did that to you. You only had to wait half a year, I think, for the second part of that. But we did have two movies to tide us over in between those two. Number 20, Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2018. Paul Rudd returns, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas. $622.7 million. Scott Lang balances being both a superhero and a father. Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym present an urgent new mission that finds Ant-Man fighting alongside the Wasp to uncover secrets from their past. This is the first MCU film to feature a female hero in the title.
Wow.
The Quantum Realm plays a significant role, setting up key elements for Avengers Endgame, and the film features a giant ant playing drums during the credits. I mean, it was good. This was telling the story of what Scott Lang was doing before, like, Avengers, or during, I guess, the time that the Avengers Infinity War stuff was happening on other parts of the world and universe, and... he was in house arrest from, you know, the results of Civil War. And so he couldn't leave. He couldn't go help or do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. It was a really good story. This was kind of, though, when we started seeing how if you want to follow one superhero, you have to watch a bunch of other movies, too.
That's true.
Because you can't just watch Ant-Man and then jump into the second movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, because... much of the plot involves what happened in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to watch Civil War, which is why on LoveThyNerd.com we have a resource called LTN's Ultimate Definitive perfect. There's just several adjectives. MCU watch order timeline. Giant article where we give you the perfect way to watch it. And then if you just want to watch one movie, on each movie we have listed the movies that you need to watch in the series in order to get their full storyline.
Oh.
So that'll help you out. So this would let you know you need to watch Civil War as well, so you can keep following along with him. There you go. good movie. Mm-hmm. End credits have Scott getting trapped in the quantum realm because everyone who was supposed to bring him back poofs away. Like, that's when the snap happens.
Right. That's right.
Guys! That's all you get.
That's right.
Then we had Captain Marvel. First time since Captain America where we have a movie set in the past.
Mm-hmm.
This one's set in the 90s. Brie Larson as Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. Nick Fury, young Nick Fury. Sam Jackson, CGI'd to be younger and have both eyes.
And have both eyes.
Ben Mendelsohn as Talos, the green dude. Really good job. $1.128 billion. Big draw for Captain Marvel. Karen Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races. The film introduces the Skrulls, shape-shifting aliens who play a larger role in the MCU. Mm-hmm. It's the first Marvel film scored by a female composer, Pinar Toprak. Is her name? Cool. Sounds Klingon. anything that goes, that's Klingon. But anyway, this was mostly a good movie, popular movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
I liked
it. There was a weird vocal faction of people who were like, women. Because there was a scene where, like,
there were women.
There was a dude that, like, talked sexist to Carol Danvers, so she stole his motorcycle and then doesn't, like, get arrested for it, I guess, is why they were upset. I don't know. And it's like, you can't justify words by doing things like that. It's a movie. She's basically an alien. She's not really an alien, but she's basically an alien at this point in the movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't get the hate, honestly. I've never really understood the hate. There was a lot of it.
Huh.
Mainly from, like, uber conservatives. Just get over it. Watch a movie.
It was just supposed to be funny.
Yeah, it really feels like you're really pushing the, because she's a woman, I don't like the superhero movie thing, and trying to justify it with the weirdest things. I don't know. It's the same thing that's happened with the Infinity War and especially Endgame. It's like there's little moments where, like, all the women are together fighting. And people are mad about it. Why? What's so wrong about having, like, a little, like, girl power moment in a movie that is 90% dudes?
I just always feel like that kind of stuff's just I feel like it looks forced.
And I'm sure that's what a lot of people are saying it as well. Yeah. But at the same time, like, it ain't hurting anything.
Right. Yeah.
You don't need to make a giant deal about it. It's like, roll your eyes and move on with your life. Anyway, film, I already said about that. So then we move on. That's like the build up. The finale of that is her returning to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because she got the little signal from Nick Fury at the end of, in the end credits scene of Infinity War before he poofed away. And so now she's on Earth. Where's Fury? And that's where we cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Endgame starts off super somber, super slow, where they have to, like, Tony Stark's about to die in space.
Right.
Tony Stark, Nebula is a robot. She'll survive. But Tony Stark and Nebula are stuck on this dead ship.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to die. Saved by Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
They find Thanos. Thanos has destroyed the stones. Thor chops his head off. And then we cut to 5 years later. And I remember the slow reveal, like it fade to black, and it's like 5 years later. And you could hear in the theater just, like, hold on, they just lose? They really did just lose? And we get like these three acts. The three acts following that is the first figuring out time travel arc, like getting the team back together.
Right.
Scott Lang is saved by a rat typing on some junk in his impounded van with the quantum, you know, vortex thing in the back of it. Rat accidentally activates the thing and brings him back. He's only been gone for 5 minutes in his mind, but it's been 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has the time travel idea. First half's like, let's figure out time travel. We get Smart Hulk. Hulk has gone through a whole journey that we didn't get to see about Bruce Banner and Hulk becoming like, let's get along and we'll always be Hulk, but you can be in the driver's seat so we won't be rage monsters. Okay. I'm fine with it. Would have loved to see the story. Doesn't look like we're going to get it. But yeah, just a lot of changed. Thor grew a beer belly. Was playing video games and eating pizza all the time.
I honestly hate that it's 5 years later.
Yeah.
I think that they can magic it to where they pick up where they left off.
Well, that's brought up, right? But they can't do that because Morgan. Little Morgan Scott Stark. That was the whole point of Tony Stark not wanting to do it at all. He had been able to build his life and get married and have a daughter in this 5 years. And to rewind it all and give all that up.
I don't care.
I don't care about that girl. Forget that girl. I agree. It's a really rough balance of which way would have been better.
Yeah.
But I ultimately think this was the right choice, even with the weird stuff that came because of it. Dealing with the blip, as they call it.
I also don't understand how they can bring back Gamora. Yeah, a Gamora that's not Gamora. For whatever reason. But they can't bring back Black Widow.
I'm trying to remember how Gamora got back. Is it just that they pulled her from a different part of the timeline? Yeah. Yeah, why can't they do that?
That what?
Yeah. I've never thought about that.
I think about it every day.
I think about that every day.
Because they both suffered the same thing.
Yeah.
Fate.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is one back and the other one isn't?
Right. And it's not like they couldn't time travel again because Steve Rogers did it to go put the stones all back, which is a whole nother can of worms. How did he get most of those back? How did he give the soul stone back? And why didn't he get a soul in return by giving it back? How did he just go up to Natalie Portman while she was sleeping and stab her in the butt to inject the ether back in there? I don't know how any of that works, but they did it.
It's because he's Captain America.
Babe. That is a yeah. That's such a huge missed opportunity to just have like a comedic like one shot. Of him having to get those back. Like, I know it would take away a little bit from the prestige of this big movie. Uh-huh. But, you know, just a funny little fun music with him sneaking all the stuff back in. Natalie Portman steps out of the shower. He's covering his eyes because he's Captain America. But I thought that would have been great.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. The second act of the movie is them going and finding the stones in different points in time, mm-hmm. which I also think was brilliantly done, especially mm-hmm. like the screw-ups and how they fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And then the third act is just the most massive battle ever.
Right.
That they did so compellingly. Like, this was pure cinema, the best fight scene in any superhero film ever.
That's where they did the slow down kind of stuff, right?
A little bit, like when it was like the 3-on-3, or the 3-on-1, rather. Like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor versus Thanos for a hot minute. And that's also where we got to see Captain America prove he actually can wield the hammer. And Thor going, I knew it. That was really cool. But then we saw just the brutality of Thanos with just his little, sword spinny thing, bust the unbreakable shield in half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then that moment where he gets up and he tightens up the shield, about to give his line of, I can do this all day, and you hear, Cap, can you hear me? On your left. Oh, the most perfect callback right there, by the way. On your left. And that little thing comes in, and they just, this huge army of everybody, the Wakandans, the
everybody.
The magic people. All the magic people, their whole society of magic people. Thank you. The wizards showed up. Dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards. and then every superhero we'd seen up to this point all swing back in one at a time.
Right.
There's like, oh, there's Wasp. Oh, that's Peter Quill. Oh, it's Spider-Man. You're just freaking out after everyone shows up. I'm about to admit something way embarrassing. On YouTube, I've already admitted that I watch some people like react to the movies, watching the movies, which this is how I got into watching a girl named Natalie Gold, because she started watching the Marvel movies like as Endgame was coming out. So, like, okay. She watched all of them, so I watched her watch all of them. And it was thoroughly entertaining. But what I've also done is watched what is essentially people just filming the theater on their phone as they're watching it and showing the reactions in the theater to certain scenes. I have watched dozens of these for that moment in Avengers Endgame.
Really?
As everybody, the on your left thing, and just hearing just the whole crowd and the cheers as everybody's showing up. And I just like, I almost cry at some of these, at just how happy the world sounds these theater reactions. And I did the same thing with Spider-Man when the other two Spider-Men show up in the third Spider-Man. All really cool. Anyway, such a good conclusion to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
It became the highest grossing film of all time. So much so that Peter Jackson, was it Peter Jackson? Who's the guy that did Avatar? Is it Peter Jackson? I don't know. Whoever did Avatar is like, well, we got to re-release Avatar in the theaters so we can get some more money. So they did that. They were like, oh, let's re-release the original Avatar in theaters. And they drove up their box office so they could get that spot back from Avengers Endgame.
He got it back.
Yeah. The movie features the time heist. That's what it was called when they went and got all the stones, which I loved. I loved all the callbacks to the other time travel movies. Like every one of them, even Hot Tub Time Machine. Beautiful, beautiful callback. It concludes a bunch of arcs. The most heartbreaking one, I guess, Tony Stark dies.
Right. What a bummer.
I've watched that scene. I've watched that scene 20 times.
Really?
Not the movie, but that scene at least 20 times.
Yeah.
I tear up every single time. I never grow numb to it.
Huh.
Peter Parker first being like the, I did it, Mr. Stark. Crying. And then Pepper just going, we're going to be okay. You can go now. I'm like, I can't not cry. Like, I've even tried it as a challenge. Watch this and don't cry. I can't. I cannot. I am unsuccessful.
Oh, good.
The really somber but neat funeral scene where we go and basically see every person in the series, every hero, even the little boy who is now like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick Fury at the very end, who had not been in that entire movie.
Mm.
Just see him at the very end. It hurts. And now that we have a little daughter, watching that scene is even harder. Because it's all about, it cuts to him, like his recording that he did prior to going on the time heist.
Mm-hmm.
And it does the callback to the I love you 3000 at the very end, and then clicks it off. I'm like, I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it. It hurts. It hurts. That's why I'm not a superhero. That's the only reason. And then to wrap it all up, still technically a part of the Infinity Saga, is like the epilogue movie that sets up the next saga, Spider-Man Far From Home. So the sequel, this is all about, is Spider-Man taking over the mantle for Tony Stark? Mm-hmm. Is he ready for that? Mm-hmm. We get a little bit of teases about a multiverse that wind up to not be real. Because remember, it's Mysterio. Jake Gyllenhaal plays Mysterio. Mm-hmm. The guy with like the fishbowl helmet that can create all these illusions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his original story that he tells S.H.I.E.L.D. or Nick Fury and the other girl from How I Met Your Mother. Maria Hill. That he's from a different universe in the multiverse.
Uh-huh.
That he lost his family. These monsters, the elementals, showed up and destroyed his universe, his world in his universe. And now he knows that they're here and he's here to try and stop it from happening here. And it's all made up. But you go watching that movie thinking, yeah, we're doing multiverse stuff. We're jumping in and it's a tease. Still a good movie, though. Really good secondary movie. Far From Home. They're in a different country most of the time. I liked it.
Yeah.
Not going to dive into it too deep because it is technically the start of the next series in my mind.
Zip it.
But really good. Really good stuff. And that's the whole thing. How long have we been going?
Too long.
An hour and a half. Yeah.
Holy cow.
This was supposed to be a two-parter. I'm sorry. that is the complete overview of the 23 films.
Cut it in half.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe's Infinity Saga. Each film contributes uniquely to the expansive narrative that has captivated audiences worldwide and accomplished something that movie franchises have been attempting and failing to replicate ever since. How many times have we heard this company or that company is now trying to start their own cinematic universe, and then they all crumble? Even the one that had the best chance of succeeding, which is DC Comics, fumbled the ball 100 different ways. Bah! Makes me so sick to my stomach that they screwed it up.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, what do you think of the Infinity Saga? What did you think of the Infinity War Endgame two-parter? We want to know. Tell us on the socials at NerdHistoryLTN.
And subscribe to the Nerd History Podcast via the Love Thy Nerd YouTube channel or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And find us on lovethynerd.com/nerdhistorypod.
And we also have our daily Today in Nerd History short and article that comes out every day at lovethynerd.com/nerdhistory with photos and nerdy facts. Golly!
Matthew Coker.
Did you hear that?
I heard you smack the table and scare the heck out of me.
That sound means it's time for a look into the nerd future. What is the future of the MCU? Well, currently, we are in the multiverse saga. So we're going to go through every movie and series. Now, we're in the Multiverse Saga, and it has had a rocky go of it. Started with a Disney Plus series, first of all. Didn't even start with a movie. Started with WandaVision.
Which was really good.
Which was really good. But the rest of the Disney Plus series have been very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Most, if not all of them, except for WandaVision, because it was such a unique storytelling device, the way they did it. Pretty much all the rest of them could have been movies that were a third of as long as the series was. Mm. You know?
They're giving us a chance to enjoy.
Yeah, but they're also making it a lot more disjointed. It feels very, All the other ones felt like they were building to something. This kind of feels like they're building to different things in different areas that are not connected at all.
Like multiverse?
Look. Yes, but not in a good way. Movies like The Eternals and The Marvels are bringing back all-time lows of the box office, which is sad. Not The Eternals. That movie sucked. But The Marvels, I thought, was the delight. It was a delight.
That was the one with the three ladies.
Yeah. I loved it. It wasn't a big, bombastic Marvel movie. It was a funny popcorn flick, and I loved the heck out of it. The direction, like I said, seems muddled. Different projects seem to handle the multiverse in different ways, which kind of makes it appear like they don't have defined rules as to how this is supposed to work across the different projects. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in heroes from other franchises in weird ways that, while cool, don't always hit right. Like Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield showing up in Spider-Man 3. Beautiful. One of the coolest things that's ever happened in superhero films. Fox's Quicksilver showing up in WandaVision, pretending to be Quicksilver and then not being Quicksilver. Being Ralph Boner. What are we doing? What's happening? Why the tease? Why the X-Men and multiverse tease? For nothing. For no payoff. Wolverine and Deadpool is coming up next. Both characters, not in the MCU, coming into their first MCU movie. Could be good. Could be crap. Too early to tell. the preview doesn't give me a whole lot of hope. So, I don't know. But we'll see. They're also, like, the preview showed the TVA, which we've seen in Loki for two seasons, and it looks like it's working completely different. Yep. The only thing that looked the same was the logo.
That is weird.
I don't understand. Also, the TVA shouldn't exist anymore, according to the Loki shows. So is this in the past?
Maybe.
It can't be another universe's TVA, because the TVA exists outside of the universes, because they watch all over the universes. Is this a fake TVA?
Maybe.
I don't know what's happening. And that's bad this late in the game. And then, of course, the worst thing, Jonathan Majors, who we won't get into why he was fired, but he's fired. He was built up as the new Thanos for this whole saga, and now he's gone. And all of the buildup stopped. And who's next? I don't know. Dr. Doom? We haven't even seen him yet. And it's like 2 years until the big movies. The next big Infinity War Endgame, like, two-parter is supposed to start.
Maybe Endgame was just, should have been the Endgame, huh?
Honestly, yeah. They should have just stopped it. If they'd have stopped it, people would be sad that it was over, but they would have felt content. What an ending. What a way to start to end the story. No series has ever gone on this long. Nobody would have blamed them to be like, and we're done. But they didn't. And now they're scrambling to try and piece together something satisfying at the end of this next saga, which is really almost over already. Can they pull a story that will save the MCU together, or should they have just wrapped it up? You decide and let us know. So as you may have noticed on our last episode, we lied.
It's your fault.
I said that we'd be doing a two-parter on today's topic, which again, we probably should have.
Yeah.
Because this is a long episode and it's still going. we were supposed to come back last Monday with the first part where we were really going to just talk about Infinity War and Endgame. But that didn't happen. And instead we did it in one long episode today. Why did we not have an episode last week? Because life is busy. We are parents. Okay. Parents of a kid who had two soccer games followed by a church event that was really important, plus two other kids in tow. And frankly, it's just too much for a weekly show, we're starting to realize. So we've decided that we are going to follow suit with the other podcasts on the network and roll it back to just an every other week show. And so that means we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode, which we'll be talking about the three Star Wars prequel trilogy movies. The ones that came out when we were kids and teenagers. So it's like our generation's Star Wars movies.
That's sad.
I don't know. I feel like we're better off than the current generation's Star Wars movies. At least the trilogy. At least the sequel trilogy. Mandalorian's hitting nicely. But we'll see. So once again, I'm Radio Matt in every universe.
And I'm Danger.
Did you need to see the script for your name?
I didn't know if you were going to keep going.
I had
going.
More jokes.
Yeah.
Remember, in the past, this has never been more appropriate than this episode. In the past, the present, and the future.
Jesus loves you, nerds.
This has been such a long show.
Oh, goodness. Poor Iron Man.
Poor Iron Man. He might be coming back. They've teased. It'll be like a different universe version of him, but.
So they'll do that with Iron Man.
Yeah.
But again, not with Black Widow.
Hey, she got to come back and have her own movie. It wasn't that great.